the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. So it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The prophet Isaiah's words are terrifying, not only for his audience, but also for us as well. We just heard the love song that was really beautiful sung. Thank you very much, oh, Brother Vernon. And I heard some of the words were in Hebrew, and that was quite exciting. And although, however that exciting is, the words are kind of so gripping to someone. And they describe the love song from the beloved to his vineyard. He worked hard. He dug the stones out there to make sure this plant gets to get the best care that there is. He had first the best chosen ones, the best vine that there is. That's what he chose. And then he dug and, you know, watered and built some kind of a tower there and, you know, put walls around it so people may not come and disturb it. And he's expecting a very good harvest of grapes. But here's the thing. We sense that he had a great disappointment because the vine had yielded instead wild grapes. What went wrong, you may ask? Was there anything more that the beloved could have done for a different outcome so that it would be this great harvest of juicy, nice grapes? But instead came the wild ones. And this is God speaking about the house of Israel. You are that vineyard that I loved beyond all words. When God expected righteousness and justice in this Jewish community, instead, what did God find? God saw bloodshed and a cry in the community. What went wrong, Israel? What went wrong, Israel? What pushed you to yield wild grapes? What pushed you? Why is it that your community is in lasting dysfunction? Why? That's not what I was raising you up for. I was raising you to bring justice and righteousness in your community. Instead, people are crying and there's bloodshed in your community. What went wrong in your community? What have you done? And that particular question terrifies me because it made me remember Adam and Eve. You know, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they kind of heard the footsteps of God in the garden. And then God asked them, where are you? We are hiding because we heard you and we are hiding. And then came that word, what have you done? What have you done? And it's tough because the verdict doesn't look good. Read on in this Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Read on and you will find that the verdict doesn't look good for them. It didn't look good for Adam and Eve either. But here's the question. Isn't this really our problem as well? God has loved us so much intensely that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from our own wayward ways. God, what God expected to find in us, he did not find. Would you say that this is true of us? When I was much younger, maybe in my elementary school, if the teacher wanted to go out and do something or go see another teacher or the principal, he appointed one person to write down everyone who will speak, who will say something. The rule was silence until the teacher comes back. So if you speak, your name goes on that piece of paper. And some people were terrified about that because the consequences weren't that great. In those days, the punishments were sort of today would be illegal, you know? And so basically, it's the, with God is not the same because we messed up. We have sinned. I know today many people are shying away from that word sin, but it happens. We have sinned and we have messed up, and we won't. There's no chance that you won't be on that paper if you have sinned, because God sees everything. God sees everything. And so we have brought harm on each other in our speech. We have not done what we were expected to do. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. But this is not a guilting trip. No. It is an honest assessment of our current relationship with God. The more drawn to God that we are and the more delightful we are in our God, interestingly, the more unbearable life and the values of this world are going to be for you. The more you grow closer to God, the more things of this world are not going to be very attractive to you. You haven't tried it yet? When you get to be closer to God, the world will be antagonistic to you, even if there is no reason at all. So following Jesus is not easy, like a walk in a park. Jesus' journey was the toughest that you can find in the world. It sometimes feels like you are running fast on a tight rope where falling seems inevitable. There are all kinds of obstacles so that for you to fall. You feel like, Am I going to make it? There are all kinds of occasions for us to fall. But here's the thing. If you fall, stand up much quickly. Go back to God. Kneel down and ask forgiveness. And go back to this battle. We walk by faith, not by sight. When you are a follower of Jesus Christ with a strong faith, you will definitely clash with the values of the world. There is no way around that. In fact, Jesus said, I came to bring fire on earth, to burn all that is not of God in us and in our communities. It will be a source of division, because if you are in Christ, believe me or not, you are very different. You are very different in the spiritual realm from the people in the world. Those who embrace the values of the world won't have the capacity or the patience to understand you. So here's James' epistles that tells us what causes fights and quarrels among you. Don't they come from your desires that battles within you? At the base of all these wars that we see, the war between India and Pakistan, the war between Russia and Ukraine, at the base of it, there is this big desires that battles in people's lives. I want that piece of land. I want that piece of land. And all that has caused a lot of conflicts that has caused a lot of human loss in our world. So the values of the world will always clash with the values of the kingdom of God. And these values cannot coexist. I mean, I know some people will tell you, why can't we all get along? It's just so easy. Just why won't you get along? But those values cannot live with each other. In fact, they all repel each other. You either have these values or you have these values. Those may not, it will not mix. They don't mix. So if you hold dear to heart the values of the kingdom of God, life won't be smooth sailing. Did someone tell you the difference? Oh, let's go live it out. There will be opposition everywhere for you and suffering. And you learn quickly who runs the show and why Christians are called guests in this world. And in Isaiah's context, as we heard, God was mad at Israelites. I have loved you with all my heart, with all my strength, that I sent my only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross. What have you done? What have you done with your communities? Why do I hear so much outcry in many homes? Why? What have you done? Unfortunately, this concerns us as well. What have we done? We were expected to bear the fruits worthy of repentance. We were supposed to serve God and bring God's kingdom into this world, into Coryville, into our own congregations. Perhaps later, when we go to meet Jesus, when we get to Holy Communion, we need to go on our knees in repentance of the mess we have made in our own homes, in our own communities, with our friends, with those we've broke up with those we've blocked, with, you know, all kinds of things that we have done in our world. Perhaps it will be our lack of patience with each other. Perhaps it will be our worldly pursuits and our lack of empathy for others. And the Bible tells us that Jesus loved us so much, that he had to endure the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no words for the feelings that comes with and the emotions that comes with going through the cross. I don't know what that looks like. But that is the worst of experience that a human being can live out. But he did that. He endured that for our redemption so that we can be reconciled with his heavenly Father. So we can gain the strength and the grace to stand firm in our faith, no matter what. Our Hebrews reading gives me goosebumps when I read it again. It tells us that the sufferings of those saints who held dear to their hearts the values of the kingdom of God, what cost they had to go through for holding so dear the values of the kingdom of God. I will read you some. They were mocked, they were flogged, they were fed to lions, they were stoned to death, and they lived in caves and holes in the ground. That's the impact of a strong faith. Will we resist the world's values to that level? Let us pray to receive from Jesus today his grace to understand further the worth and the significance of his work on the cross, so that we can act accordingly. Amen.